Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I'm excited tonight. I believe God's going to help us, lift us, Amen. Do something in us. And we're going to talk about marriage. We've written a new book, Love Handles. We'll get into that in just a moment. And I believe God's going to lift us. How many of y'all think God could help us in our marriage, with our family? Come on, with our grandchildren, make us a better voice and a better leader. And I think he's going to do that tonight. If you're comfortable with it, just lift a hand to heaven and we'll pray. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you that you lead us, guide us, help us, deliver us, show us how to do marriage better tonight. Show us how to do family. Show me how to be a husband and a father and a man of God. Show us how to be mothers and wives and people that take care of the kids and take them to the next generation with strength and honor and rise high in life in every area. Lord, we bless every man. We bless every woman. We bless every granddad. Come on. We bless every grandmother. We declare that God's going to build your family. You're going to be strong like he is strong in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen.
And
come on, you can be seated in the house of God tonight. Just turn to your neighbor, tell them this. Say, you're lucky you got to sit by me tonight. I don't believe in luck, but you can say that to them tonight, huh?
I want you guys to see this because we brought it. It wasn't here this morning, but we have a full load ready to go tonight. I think the men cleared us out
yesterday.
Men
bought them all.
I think he bribed them, like, if you take this home, your wife is going to love you so much more when you get there. But he said, Jesse, get them here. So I hauled them through the airport and got some more here. But we just finished this book, and people are asking us how long it took. It took 23 years to write this book, and it's only 10 chapters long. So it was hard fought and hard won, but we made it. And this is what we wanted to do, is make sure that we wrote a book that you could actually read, even in the seasons of life that are really difficult, and you could grab hold of truth and then apply it very quickly. And so that's the way it is. I've had young couples with little kids that have called and said, hey, we read it in 3 days together. So I feel like that's a win. If we can get the information in us, that's better than having a book on the table. So feel free to go out there and get this after the service. We're gonna teach a little bit out of it tonight, but we're also going to hit some things that aren't in the book. Each one of these things, what we see in our nation, what we see in our culture, what we see in our world, is a community of people who absolutely are just in a free fall downward spiral and nothing to hold on to, because they haven't seen marriage done well. They haven't seen God's perfect plan lived out in front of them. Did you know that you and your marriage are actually a picture to the world of how Jesus loves the bride of Christ, and he gives you get to be his living sermon every single day. And how many of you have ever felt like you were not living the sermon out real great? I mean, we all fail. We don't do it perfect. But I believe that God has some things that he wants us to learn to hold on to, not just us, but for generations to come. And how many of you know we're never too old to learn how to do things right in God? I never want to be alive if I'm not still learning how to live out the perfect will of God in every area. So each one of the chapters has a subject that it's teaching you to grab hold of so that we can have some security in our families. The world has really come at us with gender and marriage and all of these things, and I've been saying it for years, but it's just boom, come on the scene, that the day that they all burned their bras, they stole something from us women, and it was the joy of servanthood that is a part of being a Christian believer, that God is like placed in us this heart to serve and to love our people and to pour into them. And it was ripped from our grip the day we bought into the fact that we could believe that you could, you know, just be feminist and none of that mattered, and that it didn't matter that we loved and sowed and poured into our family. What we see is the flip-flop of roles in every which direction, and God wants to sort us out and give us some things to hold on to. So that's why we're here tonight.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for that. He's sorting us out tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Jesse mentioned feminism, and as long as we're talking about irritating topics, let's talk about feminism tonight. Y'all want to do that with me? We'll get it stirred up right now. How many know feminism is a lie? What they're selling doesn't work. Don't smoke what they're selling. Can I get an amen? Right? Feminism says, I don't need a man. I can do anything better than a man can. See, you can do anything except be a man. You can do anything except be a husband, ladies. I'll never be a mother. I'll never be a wife. Can I get an amen out there? I wouldn't make a very good looking wife anyway, right?
So praise God.
So this response of what the world's tried to do to the family system, and listen, we're not into like people that want to hold women down or anything like that. I'm married to a woman preacher that travels the world preaching the gospel. I pray that my daughter becomes the president of the United States of America, because I'm going to fly free on Air Force One. That's what I'm believing God for in the future, right? So I think everybody can go high, but there is an order in the house. Somebody say order in the house.
Order in the house.
Right? And feminism says you don't need a man. Well, that's just not true. How many of you know whenever all hell breaks loose and there's some maniac attacking people somewhere, how many of you are looking around for a 110-pound blonde? You're looking for a man. We got men in here that are anointed by God to sort stuff like that out. They're handcrafted by God to get between the wolf and the victim. I am a man, and I used to think I'm a pretty tough guy, but you know, there's times that I needed a man too. How many of y'all ever got yourself in some stuff you couldn't get yourself out of? Now I'm like, thank God for the LEOs, thank God for the spec ops type guys, thank God for personal protection, they've got me out of jams. Come on, let's give all of the people that served in the military here a big hand clap. Come on, we need strong men in the yes. church. We need a resurrection of manhood in the church. Amen. Can I get an amen out there? God wants to raise up men. So listen, feminism is a lie, and chauvinism is a lie.
Absolutely.
Chauvinism is the I'm in authority of every woman on the earth because I'm simply a male, right?
Good luck.
Some guys think they're in charge of, like, not just, you know, their family. They're in charge of everybody's family by virtue that they're a male. How many know that there's nothing sillier than that? Can I get an amen out there? Listen, women are to be respected. Women are to be honored. A great leadership gift. We wouldn't have this church right now in Wasilla if it weren't for the women who prayed and served and paid and gave of themselves. The ladies have built the body of Christ for 2,000 years. Come on, give all the ladies a big hand clap out there.
Absolutely.
We need you. So really, it's about being complementary.
Absolutely.
Right? It's not feminism, it's not chauvinism. It's that we benefit each other. We walk parallel beside each other. And if you get that figured out and get a life flow, right? Get a life flow. Figure it out how you do life. You don't have to do life like me and Jesse do life. But you got to find a deal that works for you in your marriage, in your household. Amen?
I love it.
You got to find it.
I think it's super important that you understand that whoever your spouse is, God has really assigned you to become an expert in how to love them. And I don't have to figure out how Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen do their marriage, because I'm not called to be married to either one of them. They're called to be married to one another, and that is God's assignment on their life, to become an expert in loving that human being. But I'm called to be married to Brian, which comes with a whole lot of circumstances. And I got to focus. Thank you. I got to focus on him. I got to focus on that. I've got to focus on our life. And how many of you know, if you're really focused on your life and the thing that God has called you and assigned you to, if you have decided, before I die, I'm going to be an expert in my spouse. I'm going to be an expert on what makes them happy. I'm going to be an expert on what makes them angry. I'm going to be an expert on how to serve them well and to speak their language as I love them and that I'm communicating well with them. And by the time we die, I'm going to figure out this thing called communication. We are going to get it right at some point, at least for 5 minutes. And we are going to do our best and we're going to put in our effort. And I'm going to figure out physically what is the best thing for our lives and what we need to eat. You know, people ask me all the time, they say, Jesse, can you cook? I say, oh, I love to cook. They say, do you bake? I say, no, I don't bake. Why? Well, first of all, you have to measure things and I'm not into that. Not my jam. I'm going to throw some stuff in, figure out what tastes good. We're going to eat it and everyone will rejoice. But I'm not measuring anything because that takes the fun out of cooking. So I don't do that. They say, well, did you just never like, I love baked goods, but we could not eat baked goods and stay healthy. So it was just not an option for us. So from the time we got married, I just did not learn to do that because if I learned to do it, I knew our personalities. We're very passionate people. So it's like really happy, really sad, really angry, really good, you know. And I could see us just sitting in the living room and just growing and growing as we ate baked goods together. We are great partners and we're great partners even in crime, and we did not need to be partners in baked goods. That might be somebody else's family thing, and that might be how they, but I'm not assigned to them. That's not my family. That's not my spouse. That's not my circus, and those are not my monkeys, and I'm just going to be right here where God has assigned me and appointed me, because how many of you know if you are where God has assigned you, you are also where God has given you dominion to be powerful in prayer, powerful in That's servanthood, good, Jess. Powerful in your actions. Amen. Everything you're pouring out and every seed you're sowing, you are in the perfect will of God for your life. And so we don't have to worry about everybody else. We got to worry about us. Brian and I are working on, and you should be too, just being the best friends that you can possibly be to one another. We are working every day to be each other's confidants, to be each other's business partners, but not to let it stay at business partners. We got to move into more than that, right? Because that's no fun. But being co-laborers in Christ, being coaches to the people around us, disciplers of our children and those people that are looking to us for the best and pouring into them. And we've got to be lovers to one another. We have to really take that thing that we do together and begin to become experts in these realms of our life so that God can trust us to have dominion and not just have it, but really take our authority in the Spirit and move our families and our ministry forward for Him. And that's what God has planned for you.
How many of y'all believe our families can be so blessed the world takes notice? Do you believe that?
Absolutely.
Out there, I believe your family can be so blessed. People are going to look at you and say, I want to be strong like they are strong. I really believe that. Jesse was talking about baked goods. How many of y'all like some brownies out there? I got some brownie folk out there. It's my people right there. Praise the Lord. We can't have them in the house, right? Because, I don't know, whenever I go to bed, sometimes I hear voices, right? I'll be in the back, and sometimes it's like I hear a little whisper, and it'll be like, amigo, amigo. It's chips and queso calling me, right, from the kitchen. And then it's the brownies. And love handles. Jesse and I, we got married. We've been married now 23 years. We got married at 19 and 22 years of age. And let me say this. I think there is a blessing and a benefit to marrying young in life. You get married young in life, we raised each other. You do some dumb stuff, right, because you don't know a lot when you get married young. But we've taught the world and taught people all over America, you need to wait before you get married, need to sow your wild oats, right? You need to start a career. You need to have like 15 different relationships. You ought to get sexually tied up with a lot of different people so when it doesn't work out, right, you can get your heart broken again and again and again. How many of y'all recognize the way we do dating in America is insane? Can I get an amen out there? Right? So what I'm doing for my children is I'm arranging all their marriages. That's what I'm doing for my children. And if you got, you know, Justice is 13. If you got a young girl out here somewhere between 11 and 14 years old or something like that, and you got quite a bit of money, this dowry is going to cost you something. You're not coming in cheap, right? And we would love to arrange something. So listen, marriage is powerful, but you need to pay attention to it. You need to push into it. Jesse, when we got married, 22 and 19, I did not eat a carb for a solid year before we got married. I got down to 199 pounds. I weighed 200 pounds in the fourth grade. I want you to know. I got down to 199. Why? Because the Bible says in the book of Genesis that they were naked and not ashamed in the garden. And when we got married, I wanted to be able to be naked and not ashamed. Can I get an amen out there, right? I'm sorry there are kids in here. I apologize. I'm talking about marriage. Pastor Daniel's like, I watched you preach this in Maui. He said, could you not say that in Alaska when the kids are in there? And I'm like, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Please don't tell Dr. Morocco I said that. He I don't know if he knows I said that. All right. So listen, I got down to 199. Next day, we were married one day. I went from 199 to 237. You'd think it's impossible. To gain 38 pounds in one day, but I'm living proof it can be done. Praise the
You're
Lord.
You're an right? overachiever.
Just, I'm an overachiever, right? So what's a love handle, all right? It's that unattractive piece of fat that hangs off my side. I just can't hardly get rid of, right? Thought about getting surgically removed, but if you ever watched one of those surgeries, that looks terrible when they got that thing pushing it in there, that lipo deal. I'm not going down that road. So I guess I'll just let Jessie have a little more of me to love, and she can hold on to my love handle. We need principles that we can get a hold of. And here's, we're going to give you a little handle to walk out of here with tonight. And we're going to call it 1-2-3 marriage. Everybody say 1-2-3.
1-2-3.
Come on, say it again, 1-2-3.
1-2-3.
All right, the first one comes out of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25. And it says this, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become, what's it say, church?
One.
One flesh. And here's my verse there, why I didn't eat those carbs. They were naked. The man and his wife, and we're not ashamed. So right here it says that Adam and Eve, that they have to become one household. It says that a man shall leave his mother and his father. There's a leaving that has to happen to have a successful marriage. Can I get an amen out there? Right? Mom is such a blessing, and we're to honor our father and mother. And I'm thankful for mama and dad. But how many know there's a time where that child has to walk out into adulthood, and they gotta form a family of their own, right? And we're all in different seasons of life. There are people in here, you know, there's kids in here, there's teenagers, 20s, some of you are just become empty nesters, there's grandparents under the sound of my voice. I'm thinking about this, Jesse and I, we had to establish our own house, and we came from very dominant families in ways. They were dominant. They had ideas, but we had to figure
different.
Out very different families, right? Her family, all girls in the household. My family, all boys. These guys had shows on their TV I'd never heard of. It's like Lifetime and Hallmark. Tell you what, the devil is a liar. Can I get an amen out there? I'm like, what is this on your television? Dear God, suicide's never been a thought in my life, but if I gotta watch another episode of a Hallmark show, I'm considering it right now, right? We had to learn to do that. My household was old school. I was raised in old school Kentucky. Whenever we ate, as a kid, family farm, all the men worked in business together. And so the men would eat first. They walk through, men get fed first. How many are from somewhere old school like that? Any people old school? All right, men walked through first, and we got our plates, and I didn't get to go to the men's table until I was like 42, right? Because you just don't make it over there. Finally, I look like Santa Claus. I get to go to the man's table now, right? Praise the Lord. About the time you have to pay for stuff, that's when you get to go there in my house. So the women would eat after the men, and they would go to the women's table. It's crazy, but this was my life growing up. And then the kids ate last. How many of y'all think maybe our children shouldn't think they're the center of the universe? Maybe we should stop idolizing our kids, start training them to serve and showing them that every decision being made isn't just about them. Oh, somebody ought to clap right there. It's getting crazy. It's out of hand in America.
It's one of the biggest sins of the American church. What we've done is just completely elevated our children to the point where we apologize for God whenever he opposes our kids. I mean, when our kids are doing something, I was talking to some friends of mine just yesterday about it. I said, you know, we're praying for the prodigals, but instead of praying for the prodigals to have their heart turned, now I hear parents and they're praying that God would approach their prodigals right. And I'm thinking, I don't really think that God is answering to us about how he chooses to approach the prodigal or how he approaches their heart or how he sends it or how he does it. And we're so concerned about their salvation, but we are not very concerned about the lordship of Jesus in their life. We don't want him to be the owner and the controller. We just want him to be the savior that takes them to heaven when they die. But if we would get concerned, especially in early years, of them having God be the Lord, the owner and the controller of every action, of every thought, of every act of obedience, of every move, of every education choice, of everything that we do with them, if we got really deeply concerned about God being the Lord of their life, something shifts. Because what we've done is now said that our kids get, you know, it's like if your kids don't like it, the whole house has to shift. We have a saying in our house. We say, control your soul. And that means you have 5 minutes to control your own soul, or I will control your soul for you.
Amen.
And that's a good thing, because Brian and I even look at each other sometimes and say, hey, I love you, but you should learn to control your soul right now, because your soul is out of control. Our soul, what does it tell us? It tells us what we feel. But it doesn't tell us what the Word of God says or what is truth. And so if we can teach our kids and train them and they can watch that, really it starts in becoming one, in really choosing to do and approach this oneness biblically. And what we've done, because so many of us have done it wrong, is come in with a story that sounds like a romance novel, and we tell the story like it's so wonderful. The kids are not stupid. They can see the brokenness, right? But we talk about it like it's wonderful. We didn't do anything the way that God wants us to do it. We do not want to repent of that. We want to sell it to our kids as if we are great. But if we would take our life, break it down, repent for what we need to repent for, teach our kids better, teach them the ways of God, then they would know what is ultimately important, which is that God is great. Because if they never think that Jesse is great, but they know that their God is great, I promise you, they will be more successful than thinking that mom is great. We're so concerned about our reputation that sometimes we throw the reputation of God under the bus. But he's looking for us to join together in oneness, to come together in purity, to come together in the way that God has intended for that to happen, to not give our heart and life away and everything away to everybody. He's called us to come together as one, because how many of you know, it's not a miracle when you just slap two halves together. Anybody can make a whole out of two halves. That is not a miracle. But when you allow your life to become whole and then allow God to join you up, and you say, Jesse, we're already joined up, then there is no time like the present than to work on the wholeness of your heart and your life, because the miracle lies in when God takes two whole people, puts them together, and makes one. That's a miracle. And that's what God really wants to do for you. He wants to take that. You say, Jesse, where do we start, man? In our book, we talk about this. Whatever there is in your past, maybe you just need to repent. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness from God. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness from your spouse. Maybe you're so deep into this family thing that it is time to ask for forgiveness from your children and from your grandchildren. Never be too prideful to do that. I think some of the most powerful things that we show our kids is that we can sin and we can repent. Kids need to know what to do when they sin. They need to know what to do next. What's my next step in God? And if they never see anyone take those steps in front of them, even out loud and say, hey, you know, I made a mistake and I'd like to repent to you and really humble yourself before them. Man, if they can see that, we can change a generation in how they approach God with the awe and the love that they're supposed to have for their Heavenly Father.
Amen. One flesh. Listen, everything I have is hers. Everything she has is mine. We don't have my money and her money. We don't have my car and her car. We don't have my toothbrush and her toothbrush
because
I use it whenever I want to anyway, right?
That's my
toothbrush.
True.
Now we're married, amen? I used to, I understand that some of you have been married before. You may be on a second or third marriage. Somebody's passed away. And I used to not believe in prenups because I said, man, it's all ours. Until my father died and left an estate. And I'm like, now I believe in prenups, Mom, because that's coming to me, not to the guy you marry in Jesus' name. Amen? But I say you got to see things as ours. Come on, somebody say it's ours. Right? Say ours.
Ours.
Right? We have to see that. We're building something strong. So listen, number one, we are one flesh.
Yes.
Second thing you got to have is this. Number two, can two walk together? Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? If you're going to get along in life, you're going to have to find some agreement. Now, I know you people never fight. These Christians here at this church never fight. But I heard some of the Baptists down the road, they fight sometimes at their church, right? We're praying for those guys. And I don't know if you're like me and Jesse, but sometimes we fight. We've been known to fight like crackheads out in the front yard on an episode of Cops, right? We really get it on. We're aggressive. It's fast and it's furious.
That is actually not true either.
No, but it's funny, right?
But it's funny.
I never tell a story that God couldn't do. Amen? I never tell a story that God couldn't do, right? So listen, it's agreement is powerful.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a great house and if you're going to build a strong family, we better get some agreement in our life. Before you get married, single people, do you know it's a sin? I think it's a sin to date unbelievers. It's especially a sin to marry an unbeliever. Right? It says don't be unequally yoked. So you gotta have agreement. So a lot of times people come up to me, they're like, Pastor, I found a new guy. I'm like, well, that's wonderful, right? And they're like, I found this new guy, he's great, you're gonna love him. I'm like, that's awesome. I'll say, is he a Christian? And they'll say, I don't know, but he's handsome. I'm like, how did you miss this factor? Whether the guy's saved or not, whether he's redeemed, whether his spirit is full of the Holy Spirit. You gonna marry somebody, you don't know if they're full of the spirit or full of the devil? I wanna know the difference. Can I get an amen out there? You know what's worse than being single? Being married to an idiot is worse than being single. I've watched it for years.
Amen.
As a pastor, I really have. So you gotta find agreement. Here's what you do if you're dating somebody, they tell you they're a Christian. If they wanna date you and you're a Christian, they're going to tell you they're a Christian. All right, here's the next question. What church do you go to? How many of y'all think that's a good next question? What church do you go to? And if they're not really committed somewhere, they'll tell you the two biggest churches in town. They'll know those names. So here's the third question. Ask them, what is the pastor's name? They come to my church, can't come up to my come up with my name. They're like the sweaty, red-faced guy with the beard. I mean, come on. So you'll know what you're dealing with. That way you can start this thing in agreement. You may already be married to somebody and you're believing God for their salvation now. Look for areas where you can walk in agreement. So good whenever we dwell together in unity. What you have to do is you gotta get the lack of peace. You got to get the turmoil. You got to get the chaos out of your house. You got to fight against that so you can have peace and agreement.
Yeah, and agreement doesn't mean we agree on everything. Agreement doesn't mean that Brian and I both have a favorite color and it's the same. It just, we get to have personalities. We get to have spunk. We get to have, things that we love. We get to have things that we hate. We get to be free to speak. We get to have opinions. We get to have all of those things. Both of us are very free to do both of those things. But when it comes to the big stuff, we walk out unified. And when that happens, so much power comes in. I tell people, Brian and I, we don't have the same opinion on everything, but we'll have agreement when we come out. No one sees us come out without an agreed face. If it's a major issue in life, we're going to walk out hand in hand and be like, yes, our kids are going to see us in agreement. And they'll say, well, who decided that? And I'll say, that's a Gibson House decision. It's done. It has been decided. And they want to know who, because they want to know. Kids are like water. They want to find the crack back and wedge their way in.
Yes, they do.
So whenever I say to them, and they're precious, you know, I love my kids, but they'll say to me, you know, Mom, and I say, what? Did you ask your dad that? And they'll say, well, yeah. And I say, what did he say? And then they'll tell me, say, oh, that's what I say too. But what's your opinion, Mom? I said, it doesn't matter. Your dad's already, he's already done. And he does the same thing for me. You know, your mom's already told you. And then I say, this is the deal. The Gibsons, we're winners.
Amen.
And every time that you come on the side of the winners, you get to win. But if you want to be a loser, you're going to go on the opposite side of what we're doing, because we're going to win and you're going to lose every time. So, I mean, pick it however you want to, but on this side of the ball, we win and you lose. So if you want to get on the winning side, this is your moment. And I'm telling you what, agreement's powerful. It doesn't have to be, even if you cannot, if you are just having the biggest strife year, if you are fighting about everything, if you feel like the devil's working your family and your marriage over, I want to encourage you to do this. Find one thing that you can agree on, just one, and talk about it. Because what we do is we find the one thing we can't agree on and we talk about it. We post about it. We talk to our mama about it. We call our grandma. We ask her what she thinks about it. But if we could find one thing that we can agree on, we can build a culture of agreement in our home. If we can say, hey, I'd like to explain to you why I think this. And they say, oh, that's interesting. I don't agree. It's like, okay, well, we're going to leave that alone for right now. What's the one thing that we can find? Now let's find two. Now next week I'm going to find three. And I'm going to find some things that we can agree on. And I'm going to celebrate those things that are very important to us, things that we do. In the book, we have a whole chapter on winning, and it talks about a culture, a familial culture that you can personally build, custom made to you, where you stand and say, these are the things that are important to us, and this is what we are going to do. Number three, the one, two, and the three. Number, did you have something else that
well,
you wanted
I'll
to hit
say this.
On that?
I believe this. I believe culture is so important. Yeah, you ever hear people talk about vision? They're like, and vision is powerful. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Can I get an amen out there?
Amen.
Right? Vision is what you see yourself doing. But culture is what you do every day. So culture always eats vision for lunch.
Yeah.
It'll always win. It'll always beat it. I'm reminded about a guy. I'm not a University of Alabama football fan, but I heard a coach talking, said he went through Alabama, went into the locker room there, and there was a kid in the locker room that was folding towels. And the coach looks at the kid folding towels, and he said, what are you doing, son? And he looked up at the coach. This is a coach from another team. He said, sir, I'm training right now to win an NCAA championship. Folding towels in that young man's mind was training to win the NCAA championship. How many of you think that creates a culture that wins?
Yeah.
Right? So instead of just letting our household, our family, our marriage go any direction, there's a kind of people I want my children to be. There's a kind of people I want Gibsons to be. There's the kind of people I want to architect. I'm not just going to let the world let that happen. I'm going to get ahead of it. I'm going to tell my young men what kind of man you're going to be. You're going to be a man of God, Justice Samuel. You're going to be full of the Spirit of God and the power of God. You're going to be rich. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to get your hands on money. You're going to have influence. You're not going to ask permission in the city. You're going to be the guy that grants the permission. You're not going to be the guy borrowing money. You're going to be the guy loaning out the money. You're going to be a political power. You're going to be a prophetic voice. You're going to be a man of God. When you walk in the room, people are going to look and say, that guy is somebody. Whose kid is he? I'll tell you whose kid he is. He's mine. That's why he's awesome. Amen? Amen. Listen, instead of just letting life happen to us as a people, why don't we happen to life? You know what? The American idea that our kids can just be whatever they want to? What a stupid idea. The ultra wealthy that hold on to power don't do that. You think the Rothschilds let their kids figure out what they're going to be or do? No. They tell them what they're going to be and do. Right? That's why they've held on to a lot of the wealth of the world for like 1,000 or more years. Who knows how long, right? Why? Because they created a culture. See, in middle class America, where most of us come from, a lot of people come from. It's like, get up and choose your own adventure. We let life happen to us, and it's about time in the church we stop letting life happen to us. Come on, somebody. We ought to start happening to life and create a culture,
Amen.
Have an agreement, have a way we do things.
I think one of the greatest ways that we can do that is number three, and that is found in Ecclesiastes 4:12. A threefold cord is not easily broken. The most powerful choice that Brian and I have ever made is that every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time the doors are open, everywhere we are, all over the earth, we go to church, we grow the church, we pay for the church, we take care of the church, we build the church, we love the church. And we say this to our kids, say it to our nieces and nephews. We say, you say, well, that's the church. Aren't you talking about the third quarter? Well, I think if God loves it and it matters to him, it's what should matter to us. And it is what is growing on the earth. Listen, the third cord is God. And whenever you put a man and a woman and then you add that third cord, it is not easily broken. When we give ourselves over, maybe your spouse isn't born again yet, and God's calling you to be the greatest witness that you could ever be to them, that you are calling them in. And the Bible actually says that in loving them and honoring them and giving them grace and letting God have time to work on them, that you are guarding your children from the devil and you are giving them a chance to be righteous. You are a powerful effect in the kingdom of God. If you're both walking with Jesus, how much power is in your household to do the will of God and to raise up the next generation of faith? Listen, if you're grandparents today and you have, you know Jesus or you've gone to church, but God hasn't been in the absolute center of everything that you've wrapped your family around, I want to encourage you today that God is looking to be the third part of your cord. He is not looking to divide. He's not looking to mess up. He's actually looking to be the primary thing that is the glue that holds it together, that strengthens it, that empowers it. And I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You guys are Sunday night Christians. Those don't even exist anywhere in the world anymore.
You guys are for real out here.
But I'm telling you, bringing your family into the house of God, bringing their hearts to God, asking God to move, to convict, to help, to send angels to them, all the things we're doing to connect our families, man, it is so powerful, because when we wrap our lives around that, it's not easily broken, and the world is broken. Everything is broken. Everything is messed up. It's like the weirdest time right now. And everybody's looking for something to be, something to do, something to hold on to, something to be a part of. And God has called us to build a family. You want to just be a revolutionary, build a family. Get married young and have a bunch of babies. Wow.
They all ought to have seven kids. All of you ought to have seven children.
Seven children.
This point forward, at least seven. Yeah. I'm stopping at three, but God's calling you to have seven, all right?
They're trying to figure out how to guard their womb from the word of God. They're like, how do you get that to go away? I don't know what's happening. Listen, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are the blessing. They are a sign that the blessing of God is upon you. And we have the vital, vital job of teaching them who God is. If you look all throughout history, every time that there is a mighty win for the kingdom, God has people set to set up landmarks to the faith, to say, this is where God won. This is where he was faithful. This is what he did for us.
Yes.
This is what he'll do for you.
Yes.
And the Bible says that let one generation declare to the next the wonderful works of the Lord. Why? Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And if your testimony's 30 years old, get a new testimony. God's looking Amen. To do something in you today so that you can talk about it tomorrow. But whatever it is that God's been doing, I want to encourage you, practical application. I want you this week to gather your family around the table. You want God in your midst? Talk about him. If all you can do is get around a Happy Meal in the car, talk about him. I'm telling you, God wants to be in the middle of your family. In whatever season you're in, hard or easy, God's looking to crash into your life right now. I promise you, he's going to be faithful to your family when you unite around him.
Are you thankful that it's not just you and your wife or you and your husband? How many are thankful
Yes.
that there's a third cord in
Amen.
The midst of our marriage? Come on, how many are thankful that the Son of Man is in this marriage with
Amen.
Us? Let's give him a hand clap tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is with us. He is for us. You know, I'm reminded that the first miracle, right, that Jesus performed was at a wedding feast, Cana of Galilee. And he goes down and Mary puts some pressure on him. There's a wedding. Weddings went on for days back then. And they ran out of wine. And it was a real smack in your face if you didn't host appropriately. You didn't have everything you were supposed to have. So Mary comes to Jesus knowing Jesus is the Son of God. She knew it, but she messed it up. But she knew it, and then she'd mess it up if you follow her story. But she goes to Jesus and she says, listen, they're out of wine. You got to do something about this. And he says, Madam, my time has not yet come. But I know mama's got a way of working you over, guys. How many know mom can get things done, right? My mother is 5 foot tall, and I'll tell you, she was trained by El Chapo, I believe, to run a cartel, which is our family. And my mom will wait till you, one of us boys, will sit down on the couch, and she'll come and get right in front of you, put her feet in front of your feet where you are hung in that couch, and she'll work you over till she gets her way. Funny thing about my mom is one of the largest coke dealers in Western Kentucky back in the day. Had a connection with him. And mom found out that he was selling me cocaine. And she knew him. She babysitted him when he was a little boy. She called him. He's dead now. He died on his way to the penitentiary. As a matter of fact, somebody probably knocked him off on his way to the penitentiary. She called him and said, listen, if you sell my boy any more cocaine, I promise you I will have you assassinated. I promise you, it's my promise to you. And he was terrified of me from that day forward.
Yeah, he was.
Said, your mother has the means and the power and she'll have me killed and I'm leaving you alone. I had to drive to other states to get blow after that. It was such a horrible inconvenience. Right, but she was strong like that and she was gonna fight for her family. Listen, threefold cord, it's not easily broken. Mary shows up, says, Jesus, you got to do something about this wine. You know the story. What's Jesus do? He turns that water. Come on, somebody. Blesses that, and he turns it into wine, right? And he tells the guy to pick up a cup of it. It still looks like water. Carry it over to the master of the ceremony. And you know, the miracle's always in the walking. You want your marriage fixed? The miracle's in the walking to fix it. It's always in the walking, isn't it?
Amen.
I wish it wasn't like that. I wish I would get the miracle first. It'd be easy, right? But you got to walk this stuff out in life. Most things aren't just fairy dust falling on us from heaven. Come on. We put the work in. We grab a hold of the plow. We don't look back. We do what God's called us to. And the miracle comes in the walking. This man walks over, hands that cup to the master of the ceremony. He takes it and he drinks it and he says, my Lord. Most people save the good stuff, right? They serve it up front. But you took the good stuff and you saved it for the last. I got good news for you. Doesn't matter where you are in your marriage or your family, we have a God who is able to bring the good stuff, to put the sparkle back, come on somebody, to bring the high shelf stuff, and he can pour it out in your household in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
It's interesting that the Gospel of John was first put out in Ephesus. You know what the chief deity of Ephesus was back in the day? It was Dionysus. Do you know what Dionysus did? Dionysus was famous for turning water into wine. Whenever John was written, the Gospel of John, and distributed around Ephesus, it was a statement to the Ephesians that Dionysus is not the God that holds on to the party. He is not the God of the bash. He is not the God that turns the water into wine. That our Jesus is the real one that can make you taste of the sweetest stuff in life. I'm telling you, our God is greater than Dionysus. Can I get an amen out there? And our God's able to make your life sparkle again. Tell you what, you can have that threefold cord. You can get blessed. You get helped. You can get strong. God wants to do that. Would you stand up on your feet with us tonight? Here's what I want to do. We want to pray for you. We want to pray for your marriage. We want to pray for people that want to get married. Let me ask you a question. How many single people do we have out here? Let me see your hand. All right. Y'all put it down. Now put it back up. Let me see your hand. Now everybody look around. If you're single, ready to mingle, find out where the other single people are. This is your chance.
This is your moment.
This is it. Don't waste this time. Come on. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. I believe God can give you a great spouse. How many of y'all think God can do that? God's able. Can I get an amen? So I think right now we just work on becoming the kind of person that'll be a great spouse. And then we'll give God something to work with.
Amen.
So miracle's always in the walking, isn't it? It's always in the doing something. So we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for marriages is what we're going to do. And I want you to do this. Go ahead and grab a hold of the hand of your spouse. If you're standing by someone that's not your spouse, don't grab their hand right now, because that would be awkward. Amen. Grab a hold of their hand right now. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to release the blessing of God on your life. We've been married 23 years. Jessie's enjoyed at least 18 of them. I'm sure she has.
Maybe 19.
Maybe 19. Praise the Lord. Might have been, I've had 22 good years. All right, with you. Come on, grab a hold of that spouse. I mean, oh, God can overcome every obstacle. God can help us. He can lift us. Man, he can straighten us out. He can show us how to answer just a little bit softer. Be just a little bit kinder. A little more intentional. Right, romance. Jessie defines it as attention. She says, romance is a fancy word for attention. It changed everything when she said that to me. Wow. Romance is attention. Pay attention. Who has ears to hear, let them hear that. Amen? It's attention. Listen, God's going to bless you and help you. Just close your eyes right now. Father, right now I pray. I pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I pray to the God of the vineyard. I pray right now, I know, Father, what you produce. You can produce the best marriage possible. You can produce a family that's such a strong covenant that there are two people wrapped up in God so strong when the world looks at them, they see the strength of God in the midst of them. Right now, we bless these marriages. I pray what God has put together that no man would put asunder. I pray that no demonic power, no strategy against your family and your household would succeed. We curse it, we break it, we stop that assignment in the name of Jesus. And we loose the power of God and the anointing of God to teach us, lead us, guide us into all things. Father, I pray for healing to come. There's some of you right now, I see it by the Spirit of God. I see it. You got traumatic experience from previous marriage. Because of that, there's this wound in your heart. You're walking around, you're even in another marriage now, and you're projecting the pain from the past one on the person you're married to now. That person didn't do that. That person didn't have that offense. It's not fair to put that on them. God says right now he's dealing with that in your heart. He heals our hearts. Now I speak to your heart. Heart, be made whole. Be made whole. Be made whole. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, bless these marriages. Jesse, will you pray for the single people?
Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for assignments of people, Father, that you're bringing across their path. And Father, you give them choice and help them to see what they want and what brings joy to their heart. Father, I pray that you'd bring really good people in front of them, that they would submit to you, Father, say yes to you at every turn, and that, Lord, in the yes, that they're going to find people that are yes people for Jesus. Father, not just people that are yes people, that are spiritual people, but people that are successful, that can be a great partner, that can go to war together, that can fight the fight of faith in their life. Father, I pray today that you would provide opportunity for them to meet a spouse. Father, that you would give them the faith to walk that relationship out. The wisdom to know the difference in the good and the bad. Father, today I pray that every false sin would be broken in the name of Jesus. That those assigned would come. We say that there is no Ishmael in their life, only Isaac, Father. Yes. And some of you need to just say yes. I say yes. Been telling God no a long time. God knows better than you do what you need and what will bring you great, deep joy. Father, right now I ask that you would give them a yes in their mouth, a song
in their heart, a spring in their step, and a joy to their life. Father, may love fill them. Lord, may they not get so excited about receiving it as they do as about giving it. Father, I pray today that you would bring the perfect balance to them. Right now, for every child represented in every family, I say that they marry the right person, that they are called higher, that they are successful, that they have more than enough for every good work, that they are the head, they are never the tail, they are above only, they are never beneath, that their cupboards are filled with plenty, that they have an abundance for every good work, that every single thing that their hand touches, it prospers, succeeds, and it achieves. It gets greener every time they show up. And Lord, today I pray over each and every child that's a female in this room. I pray for their womb. I say that they are a fruitful vine. They do not cast their fruit before it's time. Their leaf will not wither. And whatever they put their hand to, it prospers in Jesus' name. I curse every attack of the enemy on the reproduction of these people represented in their family line. I say that legacy is built out of faith. Lord, that joy and love would be celebrated. The children, the sign of the blessing would come in great number to them. People would look on them and say they're stronger than anyone we've ever seen before. We want to serve their God. Father, I pray that you would make us a representation in the earth of your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.